Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us and how you can donate to help us fulfill our mission, go to hisloveministries.net. Thank you very much and God bless you.
He says in verse 23 and 24, he says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." You see, I was talking a while ago about being convicted by what God says to us. When we're hearing the Word or reading the Word or somebody's telling us something, that's like the natural man. He goes and looks in the mirror and he sees that he's not a good person. He knows that he's not right. He knows that no matter what he does, he can't be perfect. But we keep trying and trying and trying to do all these things to make ourselves feel better, and we immediately walk off from the mirror and forget what we look like inside, because we know inside, all of us. I heard the guy that teaches our Sunday school class, he says, as far as judgment goes, try to go one day without thinking some bad thought about somebody. Judging somebody for something they've done, that's a sin. Even that's a sin. Thoughts are sin sometimes when we start judging people and when we start thinking things that we shouldn't. Now, sometimes thoughts aren't sin, but sometimes thoughts are sins when we start judging people and trying to do it with a spiritual attitude of we're better than them. You know, now if we're judging people because of, you know, from an attitude of spirituality, from a righteous point. Now, we have a right to be fruit inspectors. A lot of people misread that passage about judge not lest you be judged. He's talking about judging people from an attitude of spiritual pride, from an attitude of thinking I'm better than you are, from an attitude of thinking that I know more than you do. I'm smarter, I'm better looking, I got more money, I'm whatever. And that kind of attitude, judging, yes, that is wrong. That is sinful. But if you're judging what people are doing based on Scripture and pointing that out, amen, and you're saying something about that and being biblical, there's nothing wrong with that. It's nothing wrong with pointing people out. Like I said, now if you're judging it just because of the fact that you think you're better or saying, you know, whatever, that's wrong. But he says that we need to look in the mirror. We need to hear what the Word of God says. And then we need to remember what we look like. And that doesn't need to beat us down. That doesn't need to beat us down. But we need to remember Jesus Christ paid for our sins if we're saved and we've trusted Christ and believe that He done everything there is to pay for our sins. And we've trusted in that. Then we need to realize that yes, we still do things that are wrong. But we can be forgiven. We are forgiven. Then we do need to ask God to forgive us, to renew that relationship with Him, because He doesn't hear us. But that doesn't take our salvation away. It doesn't keep us from going to heaven. But we do need to remember. We always need to remember what we are inside without Jesus Christ. And even with Jesus Christ living in us, we're not going to be perfect until that day we get to heaven. And he says in verse 25, he says, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." He says, he who looks into, we're talking about intense examination, really studying it, really getting into it, looking at your cross references, praying about it, asking God through the Holy Spirit to speak to you. We're talking about trying to understand what God truly, really means. He says, into the perfect law of liberty. The perfect law of liberty is the gospel, it's the Word. Because when we were saved in the New Testament, because of what Jesus did, when we've trusted that, we're under the perfect law of liberty, because you see, it frees us from sin. frees us from the law of sin. And it frees us to do the will of God, because the saved man delights to do the will of God. And that's how you know you're saved. If you want to do what God wants you to do, if you want a desire to understand His Word, and that you know that Jesus Christ paid for all your sins, and that's the only way you can get to heaven, then that's how you know. But you know what? He says that the ceremonial sacrifices in the Old Testament, remember, they were constantly burning sacrifices, constantly offering blood sacrifices, burnt offering. We read about the scapegoat this morning when they did the one day of atonement in the Holy of Holies, and they had the one goat that was killed, and then we had the one goat that they would pray, and they'd lay all the sins on the head of the goat, and the goat would run out into the wilderness, and it was called a scapegoat because all the sins were put onto that animal. But you know what? That was bondage, because those people were continually burning, offering. And they were always constantly under this ceremonial law. But you know what? Today, we can be free to do the will of God because He lives in us. He says here, Romans 8:2, He says, "For the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death." And in John 8:36, He says, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." So He says He's not a forgetful here, but a doer of the work. And listen what He says here. He says this one will be blessed in what he does. You remember what it said in verse 12? Let's go back to verse 12 here. He says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him." And then what does it say in Matthew 3 through 12? Y'all remember the Beatitudes? I thought this was kind of neat, and I was looking at this last night. What does he say? He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteous' sake." And he says, "Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So he says, blessed is the man who's not a hearer, but he's a doer, and he continues in it. Why is he continuing in it? Because he's an overcomer. And why is he an overcomer? Because 1 John says that he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God and has trusted in Him, he's an overcomer. That's the definition of an overcomer. And we're an overcomer if we've trusted Christ. He says, lastly, in verse 26 and 27, he said, "For if any among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is pure and this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." This last thing is, remember the first thing I said was we need to be disciplined. Second thing I said is we need to be doers. And lastly, we need to be disciples. We need to be pure. He says, if you think you're religious and you bridle not your tongue, you can't control your tongue, you're not slow to speak, you're not slow to wrath, and you're constantly getting mad and saying things, he says that you're deceived. That we're deceived if we can't control our tongues. He says, "But pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." You know, he says, help what you said. We need to help everybody that we can. Like I said, Christ's whole mission was to help people. Sick, wealthy, poor, rich, black, white, green, yellow, orange. He didn't care. He was there to help people. And he didn't care what they were. All he knew was they needed Christ. They needed love. And we all need that. And we can all do something for somebody. We can be praying for the guys that didn't show up today. We can pray for the ones that don't know Christ that need to be here. We can pray for the ones with the hard hearts. We can pray for the rest of the world. We can pray for this country. We can do those things. And we can help others. We can help a friend when he's down. We can go to a brother in Christ that's down and speak to him. Give him a word. Speak to him and tell him God loves him. Said, trouble not. You know, God loves you. He's overcome the world. And he's going to take care of you. He says in Galatians 6:2, he says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. He doesn't mean just help widows and orphans here, although most of the time they're the ones that are most needy because they don't have somebody to take care of. But you know, we're to help everybody that has a need. Everybody has some need somewhere. We all have a need. And then lastly, he says, pure religion is to keep oneself unspotted from the world. How about that? That's amazing. You know, we need to stay away from the things that are wrong that the world says is right. We need to stay away from people that are going to take us into that trouble. We need to stay away from the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes. He says in Deuteronomy 8:3, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. In John 6:35, Jesus said to him, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. You know, we're given spiritual strength and power by trusting in Jesus Christ and by reading the Word, by feasting on it, by welcoming it, by receiving it. And we need to do that. Because you know what? If we study, read, memorize the Word, then we're prepared for this life. One man said, the Word will give you deliverance from sin, victory over Satan, spiritual prosperity, not money prosperity, but spiritual prosperity. Make sure we get that one right. Personal guidance and help for others. That covers everything, doesn't it? Because the Word is sufficient for everything in life. Right. It meets all our needs. Don't let nobody tell you that the Bible's old-fashioned, it's out of style, and it doesn't meet our needs. But there's something in here for everybody, to meet everybody's needs. So let me ask you today, are you disciplined? Do you do the will of God? Do you purify your life? Do you help others? Are you reading your Word every day? Are you praying? Are you studying? Well, let me ask you another question. If you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Can you say for sure that you'd go to heaven? And if God asked you, why should I let you in my heaven, what would you say to Him? What would be your answer? I'm a good guy. I've tried to be good. I've tried to keep the Ten Commandments. No. The standard is nothing can be in heaven unless it's perfect. And the only way we can be perfect is by trusting in Jesus Christ. Because see, when Jesus died on the cross for my sins, for your sins, and the sins of the whole world, He paid the penalty for every sin that was ever committed in the past, every sin that will ever be committed in the future. He paid for all of them. And we have to believe that. And when we believe that, and we say, Jesus, I believe that. I believe that Jesus was the Son of God, that He was all man and He was all God, and He paid the penalty for my sins. And that I want Christ to be my Lord and Savior, my boss of my life, and my Savior because He paid for my sins. Then God is faithful. And He'll hear those prayers. But if you're not saved, God's not obligated to hear your prayers. He's not obligated to answer. He's not obligated to listen. But if you're unsaved today, the prayer He will hear is, God, save me. I'm a sinner because I know I can't get to heaven on my own. So can you say your faith is real? What are you trusting in today to get you to heaven? You know, Jesus said in John 14:6, He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And that me is Jesus Christ. And he says in Acts 3:19, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." We need to repent of our sins. We need to trust Christ. And we need to make sure, because the Bible says to make your calling and election sure. You know what that means? We need to make sure. We need to examine ourselves. And we need to make sure that we're truly in the faith. And we need to understand what that means. But God will save you today if you believe that He died for your sins and you receive Him as Lord and Savior. So let's pray that prayer right now. And I want to give somebody an opportunity today. If you've never trusted Christ and you really truly believe the things that I've said just a minute ago, that Christ was the Son of God, that He was all man, He was all God, and He paid for all of our sins. And by trusting in Him is the only way you can get to heaven. If you're willing to admit you're a sinner and receive Him as Lord and Savior today, then you pray this prayer to yourself. And maybe you want to tell Him you're sorry for some of the things that you've done. But you just pray a prayer like this. Heavenly Father, the Bible says I'm a sinner. Lord, I've done many things wrong in my life. Please forgive me right now. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He is God, that He was all man, that He was all God, and that He died on the cross to pay for all of my sins, past, present, and future. And right now, I'm trusting in what He did on the cross to save me. I receive Christ as my Savior. I want to go to heaven, Lord. Please forgive me of the sins I've committed. And I receive Christ as my Lord and Savior right now. And I thank You for hearing and answering my prayer right now. In the name of Jesus and for His sake alone. Amen.
Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Please help us reach out to those the world has forgotten. Everyone we minister to is locked up in some way, shape, or form. Those in the nursing home facilities are locked up in bodies that do not work, in a wheelchair, or in a bed. We minister to children and youth who are locked up because of behavioral problems. Some have told us we want to have a real family because their parents have lost or given up custody of them. Other kids are locked up because they've committed crimes. We also minister to those locked up at the jails and the prisons, to those locked up in addiction, to drugs, alcohol, depression, and suicidal thoughts, to those locked up in a variety of other things that keep them from becoming who Jesus wants them to be. He came to give us abundant life, joy, and set us free. And these people that we minister to are not free. Our desire is to show them, whatever their background, no matter what they've done, to see how much God loves them. We seek to help them receive forgiveness and freedom from their sin in Jesus Christ. We minister in the local area of Savannah, Georgia, and surrounding Effingham and Chatham area. We have recently expanded our ministry to the Lexington, Columbia, South Carolina area. We do over 2,000 services every year. We hope and pray that you will support us in some way that so we can continue our mission. Go to hisloveministries.net and click on the Donate Now button or send it via regular mail to Post Office Box 1881, Lexington, South Carolina 29071. We hope and pray that you will do that. Thank you and God bless you. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John 8:32.